may remain seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our texts for this evening are the Old Testament and the Holy Gospel lesson. And our theme, the child who is a virgin's great son. Dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it was an impossible situation. For 40 years, Israel had been suffering under the cruel oppression by the Philistines. The Philistines would loot Israel's cities and ravage their countryside. Severely oppressed and enslaved, Israel was in a very, very dark and hopeless time. It's in those dark and seemingly hopeless times that Almighty God will give birth to a new or a renewed faith. God heard the Israelites' repentant groans and did for them what was humanly impossible. He rescued them from their enemies. You must know, dearly beloved, that God's rescue plan did not begin, though, by gathering an underground rebel army, or by smuggling in all kinds of weapons, or by using guerrilla tactics. God's plan is always greater, and His plan this time and always is based upon one single man. One man would single-handedly rescue Israel without ever using a conventional weapon of war. God's battle plan began with circumstances that no one would ever predict or even expect. An angel speaking to a barren woman, the wife of Manoah. Her name was never given. But Manoah's name, of interest, his name means rest. Manoah and his wife, they were devout Jews. They were of the tribe of Dan, as you heard, and they longed for a son. So an angel of the Lord comes to Manoah's wife, and he says to her, "Behold, you are now barren, and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." The Lord had done great things through barren wombs. Do you remember Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel? And He would again do an even greater work through the barren wombs of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, and as you heard in the Holy Gospel, in the womb of an old woman, Elizabeth. Now the lowly wife of Manoah would join their ranks, and she would bear a son. She would bear a judge for Israel, a deliverer, his name, Samson. And it's interesting that his name in the original Hebrew means little son. God's Spirit gave Samson an incredible strength. We know the stories. He single-handedly accomplished jaw-dropping feats that became legend. He was attacked by a vicious lion, and Samson tore the lion to pieces with his bare hands. Later, Samson would take revenge on 1,000 Philistines after they had killed his wife by using the jawbone of a donkey. Then at Gaza, the Philistines finally thought they had him trapped. But at midnight, Samson went out, tore the city gates from the walls, carried the gates upon his back to the top of the hill that faced Hebron, 38 miles to the east, and it was all uphill. Yet Samson's greatest feat was his last. Blinded, weakened, and mocked by his enemies after being tricked by Delilah, Samson was chained between two pillars in the temple of Dagon, where thousands of Philistines were worshiping their false god and making sport of Samson. Even though it would cause his own death, Samson prayed to Yahweh that he would let him have his strength just one more time. And the Lord heard his prayer. Samson pushed his arms against the outward pillars of the temple, and there the temple fell, destroying more than 3,000 Philistines. And Samson also gave his life. God's Spirit did great things through Samson. However, Samson's life was supposed to be distinguished not by his single-handed feats of strength, but by his single-mindedness, his single-minded devotion to the Lord God Almighty. Even before Samson was conceived, he was set apart. He was to live as a Nazarite, not a Nazarene, a Nazarite. Samson was forbidden to eat anything that was unclean. He was forbidden to drink any wine or any strong drink. And he was forbidden from cutting his hair. Samson was to be different. He was to be set apart. He was to be holy, wholly dedicated to the work of Yahweh. Now, while Samson devoted many, many things, the one thing that he did not devote to was being faithful to the Lord. Yes, Samson wowed many with his awesome strength, but he did not wow anyone with his dedication to God. Again and again and again, Samson failed to live up to his Nazarite calling. Dearly beloved, in baptism you and I have been called to be holy, to be set apart, to think and to act differently than the world around us. God, through Peter, clearly tells you and me, you shall be holy, for I am holy. But to our shame, we are just like Samson, only we don't have superhuman strength. We wow no one with our holiness, do we? We are like Samson, undisciplined and self-indulgent. We compromise, and too often we blend in with the world around us. Sadly, we are more devoted, yes, sadly, we are more devoted to our sports teams than to the Lord's team and to His church. We are much more dedicated to our own evil impulses and our own evil desires than to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our dedication to live a holy life does not wow God. So then you and I stand guilty. We stand guilty before the Holy One. And there as we stand before Him, we find ourselves also in an impossible situation which we can never, ever rescue ourselves. But your loving and merciful Lord can rescue you. And actually, dear one, He already has rescued you. Rejoice! I say again, rejoice. The Lord is more dedicated to you than He is to anyone else. More dedicated to you than you are to Him. He has done for you what you can never do for yourselves. in the fullness of time, at just the greatest time of oppression, the very God of Israel acted. In the case of Samson, there in Judges, God acted at the right time. But God also acted at the right time for each and every one of you. He acted for you, yes, for each and every one of you. With His single-minded devotion toward you, God rescued you from the effects of your sin, from death, and the power of the devil. He has single-handedly done what is humanly impossible. He has rescued you from your greatest enemy. Therefore, rejoice, for nothing will be impossible for God. So, my dear brothers and sisters, six times the Lord did wondrous works through the womb of six unlikely women. Now we come to our gospel. And our gospel this evening, we see that the Lord does an even more wonderful work through the womb of a most unlikely woman. To this seventh woman, He sends the angel Gabriel and tells this young, unassuming virgin that she will conceive the deliverer. She would give birth to the Messiah. Behold, says Gabriel, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. In this virgin's womb would be conceived the perfect, sinless one. He will be named Yeshua, which, as you all know, means God saves. For that's what He is to do. He is to save His people from their sins. This child will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Of His kingdom there will be no end. This child who will be born will be called Holy. The child conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary was and is and will always be greater than Samson. His life is set apart. He did not waver from His calling and from His purpose. Unlike Samson, Jesus' greatness was not found in His feats of great strength. Instead, His greatness was in setting aside His divine strength to single-handedly do everything necessary for your salvation. Yes, Jesus had the strength to easily rip apart that roaring lion who seeks to devour you, Satan. Yet for your sake, He placed Himself into Satan's jaws, suffering God's righteous judgment in your place. He could have used the jawbone of a donkey to wipe away from this world all of His enemies, to destroy sin once and forever, to destroy all of those who openly rebel against Him. But instead, He willingly went to the place of the skull, Golgotha, to suffer a cruel, excruciating death in your place. Jesus could have easily destroyed all those who rebelled against Him, but instead, He lifted all rebellion onto His back and carried it up onto a hill to atone for all that rebellion. He could have stretched out His arms and crushed His enemies at any time, but instead, for your sake, Jesus stretched out His arms and allowed them to be nailed to a tree. And then He was lifted up and allowed to endure the wrath of His Father's punishment. He did this for each and every one of you. Yet, the greatest act of this child was on the third day, where He single-handedly won the ultimate victory for you while bringing certain defeat and judgment to all of his enemies. My brothers and sisters, from womb to tomb, this child's whole life was dedicated to you, making you new, making you a new creation, you being filled with the very same Holy Spirit that empowered Samson, you being filled with the very same Holy Spirit that overshadowed a young virgin named Mary, so that you too can also say with Mary, "Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word." So, dear ones, as we now close, when the Lord sends those trials into your lives, and yes, he most certainly does send those trials into your lives, and those trials will continue until he comes for you, you can respond in faith. "Let it be to me, Lord, for what you ordain is always good." No matter the trial, no matter the suffering or the pain or the mourning, "Let it be to me, Lord, for what you ordain is always good." You see, dear one, his mercy is greater. His victory is greater. In Jesus, the great deliverer, you have been delivered from sin, death, and hell. In Jesus, your great deliverer, the Messiah, in him and for his sake, each and every one of your sins, every sin is forgiven. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.